is wrong with you?
At the precise moment, the whole building blows up. Dude, are you arming these places to blow? I say on the way back to Chester's. Is this another of your stupid tests? I have to solve your little mystery in the whopping 3 seconds I get to study it before the scene gets blown to smithereens. The whole building had exploded outward for a city block. We'd barely freeze-framed from the shrapnel zone in time.
I lost a great deal of personal property in both explosions. I sacrifice nothing that is mine from which I might profit.
Which translates into, as long as I'm useful, since you think I'm yours, I'm not going to get the... I drag a finger across my neck.
Kid, you might just annoy me into killing you.
Right back at you, boss. He smiles and I feel myself starting to smile back, and it pisses me off. So I look out the window and get real intent on what scenery I can make out in the pinkish moonlight, which isn't much, because the shades took everything worth looking at out here. Got 3 hidey holes down this way, and a big stash. Didn't know Riordan was holing up here, too. I'll vacate this district as soon as I get time to relocate.
Observations,
he says. 4 Imperial Unseelie guards were the only commonality I was able to isolate, endemic to both scenes. They'd been standing, armed at the dock doors, overseeing the delivery. He gives me a sideways look.
Wow. That was like a whole sentence, with nouns and verbs and connective tissue. Endemic, fancy word.
Sloppy, dude. Should have omitted the connective tissue part.
Nothing else.
I'll give him a look. I hate his statement questions. I'm not answering them anymore. He laughs.
Nothing else.
His voice rises on else about 1/100th of a note higher than the word nothing, a concession only someone like me with super hearing would ever be able to pick up. Still, it's a concession. From Riordan. Rarer than water in the desert. The ice was layered the same. Maybe hoarfrost. Definitely hard rime. Clear ice on top of it all. The hard rime's weird. White ice comes from fog freezing. What's fog doing inside both these buildings?
How did the place blow?
I think back. It happened so fast and we were outside, and he was blocking my view, and I was more focused on getting him off me than anything else. I hate to, but I admit... I can draw no conclusions, circumstances being what they were. He looks sideways at me again. Talking like you, dude. Thinking it might get all this stupid feckin' stuff over with sooner. Communication is hard enough when everybody's trying.
Isn't that the truth? Give me your hand.
No.
No.
There's no way I'm giving him my hand. He says something soft in a language I don't understand. My arm jerks up. I watch in horror as my hand passes to his side of the Humvee, palm up. He drops a Snickers in it, murmurs something, and my hand is my own again. I wonder when, how, and why my fucking appetite became everyone else's business.
Eat.
I think about throwing the candy bar back in his face, or out the window. I refuse to let my fingers close around it. But I sure could use it. He breaks. Comes to a stop in the middle of the road, turns toward me, grabs the collar of my coat, pulls me across the expanse between our seats and leans in, locks eyes. We're maybe 8 inches apart, and I think the only reason my nose ain't touching his is because one of the brackets on my neck halo is just about touching his forehead. My butt's no longer touching the seat. I've never seen such clear eyes as Riordan's got. Most folks are crammed full of emotions, with lines around them like battle scars. I can tell by looking at grown-ups if they've spent their years laughing or crying or resenting the whole world. I hear moms say to their kids when they make faces, "Careful, your face will stick like that." And it really does. By middle age, most folks wear whatever they felt the most in their lives smack on their kisser for all the world to see. Dude, so many of them should be embarrassed. It's why I laugh so much. If my face is going to stick, I'm going to like looking at it. Looking at Riordan is like staring the devil in the face. It's obvious what he's felt the most. Nothing. Ruthless. Cold dude.
I won't ever hurt you unless you make me, Danny.
You being the one who gets to decide what constitutes the definition of make? Big fat lot of wiggle room in there.
I don't need wiggle room.
Because you annihilate.
Another of those fancy words.
Dude, what did you just do to me?
Gave you what you needed but were too stubborn to take.
He closes my fingers around the candy bar with his. I can't shake him off fast enough.
Eat, Danny.
He drops me back into my seat, puts the Humvee in gear again, and takes off. I munch the candy bar despite the sour taste in my mouth, thinking how I used to be invisible.
Superheroes are never invisible,
he says.
They're just deluded.
Turning my head toward the buildings flashing by, I screw up my face and stick out my tongue. He laughs.
Side view mirror, kid. And careful. Your face will stick like that.
I head out into the streets with boxes of freshly printed dailies. I love the smell of new ink. In a battered grocery cart, the minute my time is my own again. I can run with the cart and slap my papers up on poles faster than I can do it on my crotch rocket. My bike's for pleasure, for pure downtime, when I got nothing else weighing down on me, like always saving the world. I don't get to ride it much. Riordan's reminder that I'm to report to work every single night at 8 p.m. on the dot is still ringing in my ears, making me nuts. What the fuck can he possibly have to torture me with every night? Is he icing these stupid scenarios himself just for an excuse to mess with me? I head west and begin my usual route. It's a little after midnight. It shouldn't take me more than a couple hours. Then I'll start hunting for Dancer again. I'm getting a little worried about him. Most times he goes somewhere else without telling me. He's only gone a few days. I don't know all his haunts any more than he knows all mine, but I'll keep checking those I do. I've got certain posts and poles and benches that folks frequent, like regular newspaper stands, waiting for my latest updates. Folks have probably been a little worried with my paper being late and all. I've got important info to share tonight. I glance down at my rag, proud of it. The ink is crisp and clean, and it looks real professional. The Danny Daily. May 21, 1 AWC. New Unseelie Cast. Update your DDD manual. Brought to you exclusively by TDD, your only source for the latest news in and around Dublin. Dudes, I discovered a brand new kind of Unseelie hanging at Chester's. Calling this one Papa Roach, and I don't mean the band. Take notes. It's 3 to 4 feet tall, with a shiny, brownish, purplish segmented body, 6 arms, 2 legs, and the smallest head you ever saw, like the size of a walnut, with little fish egg eyes. It can break down into segments that are the size of roaches that crawl inside your clothes and get under your skin, literally. If you see this thing coming, run like heck, because I haven't figured out a way to kill it yet. You want to carry a can of hairspray, or fill a spray bottle with gas, and always have some matches on you. I got a blowtorch myself. That way, if you get cornered, you can spray them and set them on fire. It doesn't kill them, but it sure keeps them busy while you run. I'll keep you posted, Dublin. Danny out. I don't tell them the worst part is what Joe told me this morning, that some of the waitresses at Chester's encourage the bugs to get under their skin. I don't want to give them any ideas. This Unseelie has a specialty. It feeds on human fat. Presto, tiny waist. Hello, bug. Goodbye, cellulite. Don't like those dimpled thighs? Bug up. The walls haven't been down long enough for folks to get dystopian thin. And with the amped-up sexuality of so much fey royalty walking around, dangling the promise of potential immortality, the focus on fashion and beauty has never been more extreme. Joe told me that a couple of the waitresses are real proud to have one. It's becoming a status symbol or something, like hair extensions or boob jobs. Joe said the waitresses claim they don't kill humans, they just eat their fat, and they can hardly feel them in their skin at all. I think that's bull. I think they hitch a ride because they're getting more from humans than fat. I think they experience everything their host experiences. Pleasure, pain, whatever. The Unseelie are bugging us, and we let them. They invade our bodies and gather intel from the inside, then report back to Papa, who probably reports back to the Onsili princes, the better to prey on us. What do these idiot waitresses think? That the bug will eventually return to its own body and leave them all pretty and thin? No harm, no foul? Dude, it's an Onsili. There's always a catch. I zip around the corner to my first pole, grocery cart rattling. When I see one of my papers from last week still hanging up, gleaming pinkish-white in the rosy moonlight, it surprises me. Folks always take them down and take them home, wherever that is. Darn few get left behind. As I get closer, I realize it's not my paper. What the fuck? What's on my pole? Folks know to leave me notes at the general post office. I slip into Fastmo, get nose to nose with it. I'm so flabbergasted my jaw about hits the pavement. The Dublin Daily, May 21, AWC. Your only source for credible news in and around New Dublin. Brought to you by We Care. We bring you all the news that matters. We will help you survive. We Care. Gah! Dudes, plagiarize much? I pluck the offending matter from my pole and almost drop the thing. My eyeballs are so freaked out. The Dublin Daily, not the Danny Daily? Like, maybe they could have an original thought. Holy mimic and monkeys, they aped my intro. Hardly even changed any feckin' words. I scan it quick-like. Don't be fooled by imitation dailies. The Dublin Daily is the only daily you'll ever need. We can help you turn your power and water back on. Join us now. Unlike imitation dailies, We Care delivers all the important news direct to your door, no matter how difficult your door is to reach. Don't subject yourself to terrible threats in the streets in order to read over-inflated juvenile boasts that advise you to indulge in dangerous fireworks and battles. We Care will come to you. We Care will fight your battles for you. We Care will keep you safe and in the light. Who cares about you? We do. We Care. Bah! It's all I can come up with. Bah! I say again. I can't even stand to keep reading. I ball it up and crush it into a tiny hard wad. Finally, I manage. Imitation? I'm so perturbed I can't even cuss. I can barely talk. Over-inflated? Who's writing this drivel? I've been keeping Dublin safe and in the light since last October. Months of delivering food and supplies to folks too scared to leave their hidey-holes. Months of fighting monsters, of finding and collecting little kids that got orphaned on Halloween when their folks were out celebrating and never came home because they got devoured by shades or some other Onsili. Months of rounding up people and taking them to Inspector Jane so they could learn to fight. Nobody else ever bothered to step forward and help folks survive. Now this? I'm getting dissed by some paper that's pretending I'm the pretender. There is some serious ass-kicking going to happen, I mutter. As soon as I find out who the feck We the feck Care is. I spend the next few hours whizzing around my city, tearing the stupid things off my posts and putting up the Danny Daily. They used my posts. Couldn't even find their own places to put them up. Reaching out to my market by taking my posts. Stupid feckin' copycats. I'm so mad I'm steaming. If anybody was watching from above, all they'd see is a blur of motion leaving two plumes of pure pissed-offedness trailing out of my ears. I figure tomorrow's got to be a better day. Lately, it seems all I ever figure is wrong. 10. Cat scratch fever. 4 nights he's come to me, murmuring my name.
Cat,
he says, and he makes of that one syllable an exquisite melody with which not even the divine orchestral choir of all the angels in heaven could compete. He chimes my name in the language of the Onsili, and it makes my ears ring until my mind is emptied of all thought, until my eyes are incapable of beholding any vision other than him. He is so beautiful that merely looking at him makes me weep. And when I brush tears from my cheeks, my hands come away tainted red by blood. He wakes me, but doesn't wake me. He takes me to a place that is so perfect and serene and free of worry that I want to stay there forever.
Gad, my name is Cruz, not Belaine. I was so weary of wearing his golden shining face. He was never half the fae I am. I have you in the dreaming. Is it not beautiful? Do you not feel divine here with me? You need not fear me. I am not what I seem.
I am in danger, terrible danger. I cannot tell a soul because they are all looking to me to lead, to be strong and show them the way. I am their hope. I am afraid their hope will soon be beyond all hope. They judged Rowena so harshly. They have no idea what she faced. God knows how many years she withstood similar torment before she succumbed. Who knows what caliber of person she was before the Shusadu tampered with her mind? Did it happen to her every night, like it does to me? Did the darkness beneath our stone fortress beeline straight for her head, her heart, her bed, the moment she lay down and tried to relinquish for a few stolen hours the heavy mantle of rule? I cannot help but wonder if this hasn't been going on for millennia. If the Unseelie King knew when he interred his deadly alter ego beneath our sacred ground and charged us with guarding it, then infused our blood with his own to make us strong? Or is it that very kiss of evil in our veins that makes us weak? How much hell on earth he was going to cause? How many women's lives he would ruin? How many humans would one day die? I wonder if thousands of times before me, a woman stepped into the position I occupy, assumed leadership of our order, and was instantly subjected to the harshest test of will imaginable, besieged by the insidious seduction of the Shisadu.
Take me. Free me. Be invincible. Save the world.
Oh, the siren's song of power. Even I, who care nothing for power, am not immune. I do not believe it was ever quiet down there. Not for a moment. I do not believe any grand mistress was ever spared. Remarkable we kept it hidden so long. He came to me that first night the Unseelie King imprisoned him beneath our home. I slept, and while I was vulnerable, he came to me in my dreams. He has come to me each night since. I tried sleeping pills. They only drugged me, rendering me more vulnerable to the pleasures of temptation. He shows himself to me in all his glory. He shows me how much more beautiful Cruz is, and always was. Belaine was a pale imitation of the real thing. Cruz is black and white and brilliant, and hard and strong and perfect. He wraps velvet wings around me and makes me feel things I've never imagined. I agree with Marjorie. I want that chamber pumped full of concrete, or lead, or iron, or anything that might bar the path between him and me. I do not know a tenth of the spells Rowena knew, and still she failed. I can't even get the door closed. The night the book was laid to rest, I left the chamber celebratory, with my heart feeling lighter than it had in a long time. The Shisadu was finally off the streets, and although the method of confinement was not all I'd hoped, I'd envisioned a reprieve. A time of rest and rebuilding, precious, necessary time to come to terms with the many changes in our lives, the endless killing, time to grieve the loss of our many sisters. It was not to be. He comes to me with his promises and his lies, with his beauty and unchained desires, and he says that I am all that he needs. He says I and I alone can rule at his side, and that my special gift of emotional empathy makes me the only woman capable of ever truly understanding him to the deepest degree, on that rare and uncompromising level of emotional bonding an Unseelie prince must have, or will go mad without. He says I am his only possible mate, and he has waited an eternity to have me. He claims he is being wrongly accused, and we are all being tricked. He says he is not the Shisadu. He claims the moment he was imprisoned in his block of ice, the king took it all back. He says we are being played by a clever, cunning, mad ruler who cares nothing for his children, who never has, who loves only his concubine. And once he had her in his arms again, reclaimed the power of the Shisadu, too. He says the concubine still isn't fully fey, and the king retrieved his spells so he might resume his work, that it was all sleight of hand in the chamber that night. He tells me he was made out to look like the villain again, so we wouldn't search too hard for the unseelie king, so we would worry instead about containing the only prince capable of stopping him when he decides our world is expendable, which Cruz assures me the king will one day do, and not too far in the future. He tells me I must be humanity's savior. When I am ready, he will show me the way to free him. He says that only I am strong enough, level-headed enough, to see the truth when it stands before me, wise enough to make the hard decisions. He speaks with forked tongue, and I know it, and I am still losing the battle. Awake in the morning, smelling of him, tasting him in my mouth, feeling his tongue on my skin, filled with him as no man has ever filled me, body, mind, soul. He makes love to me, and I resist, but somehow I'm not resisting. In my dreams, I say no, but do it anyway, and love each exquisite, soul-charring moment of it. I wake up coming over and over again from my invisible lover, shuddering with heat and need and shame. My sisters count on me. I am their leader. How will I survive this? How do I stop him from coming to me? There must be spells to block him, wards, runes to place around my bed. Maybe I should leave the abbey now, before it's too late. Can I leave my sisters? Dare I leave my sisters? If I don't leave right now, will I ever again have the strength of will to go? Or will I find myself down there one night, trembling hands on the bars, willing to do anything it takes to set Cruz free? How many died the night Rowena let the Shisadu out? How many murders weighed on her conscience? Did she even have a conscience left by then, or had it been corrupted completely? Who will step up if I leave? There's no guarantee the next woman will be any stronger than me, or more capable of resisting his seduction. How long would Marjorie last, in the face of such temptation? How cool might she become with the power of the Shisadu blackening her heart? God help me. I must stay. I must win this silent, invisible war, with no one the wiser. God help me. 11. Trouble ahead, trouble behind.
There you are, Joe says as I saunter past the Kitty Sub Club. It's almost 8:30. I thought you were supposed to be here at 8.
She's got on makeup. She never wears makeup. And she did something sparkly on her eyelids and between her boobs. It makes me mad. I don't know why she changed. She was just fine the way she was. The words, supposed to be here, chafe me raw. They're insult heaped on injury. I had a crappy day. It's already taking every ounce of my self-control to hide how much it kills me to see Joe waitressing, wearing a short, kicky skirt, serving Faye. But I choke it down, because if I let an ounce of it show, who knows what Riordan might do? The dude's as predictable as an interdimensional fairy pothole, those pieces of fractured fey reality drifting around that you never know what's inside of till you're ass-deep in alligators.
Mac's looking for you, she says.
I rubberneck wildly, trying to search every sub-club in Chester's at once. She's here?
What?
Joe looks at me blankly, and I realize I must have spoken in fast mo. That happens sometimes when I get agitated. I start to vibrate, and I think all other people hear is the high-pitched whine of a mosquito. Is she here? I slow down for a sec to talk, then speed up the rubbernecking.
No. She left with Barron's half an hour ago. You're going to give yourself whiplash if you don't slow down your head, Danny. It's creepy when you do that. You just missed each other. If you'd been on time, you wouldn't have. What's wrong? You just went white as a sheet.
If I'd been on time. Did Matt come here looking for me? Was she hunting me? Does she know I'm supposed to show up for work at 8? I feel woozy. I need to get the blood back in my head. Sometimes I think my heart and veins go into fast mo without the rest of me, prepping my body for flight or fight, sending all the juice to my sword hand or my feet, and away from my brain. It's the only thing that explains how stupid I go when I get mad or worried. But then, guys work the same way with their dicks, and they can't fast mo, so maybe it's just a human design flaw. Intense feeling? Huh. Instant brain death.
Where the fuck is my drink, bitch? You want a piece of me, or what?
An unseelie at a nearby table growls. It means it, literally. Tell me you're not eating unseelie, I say. You? Never? Joe says, like she can't believe I asked. Did you get highlights in your hair? She touches it with a self-conscious smile. A few? You never have highlights, and you don't wear makeup. Sometimes I do. Like, not once in the whole time I've known you. And I ain't never seen you with sparkly stuff on your boobs. She starts to say something, then shakes her head. You dressing up for these creeps?
Bitch, I said, where's my drink?
I look at the unseelie. It's looking Joe up and down, licking thin, nasty lips like she's its next meal. Way too personal-like. An unseelie just called Joe a bitch. Pressure builds behind my sternum. My hand goes to the hilt of my sword. Before I can close a finger around it, I'm hemmed in by a mountain range of men with attitudes as big as avalanches. Being in the middle of four of Raiden's dudes is sort of like standing on a glacier while being gently electrocuted. Never felt anything like it, except from the dude himself. And Barons. That unseelie called Joe a bitch, I say. Clearly the unseelie deserves to die.
Boss says if you kill a fae in his protected area, the waitress dies in front of you, real slow.
Lore says.
Then we kill you. We'll never remind you of this again. We'll never intervene again. It's on your head, kid. Control your temper, or you'll kill her, you. We're merely the weapon by which she'll die. And we're inventive as fuck when it comes to slow killing.
Joe's eyes are huge. She sees their faces, knows how moody I am. I sigh and let go of my sword. Wow, dude. I've never heard you string so many complete sentences all together in, like, ever. You're downright loquacious tonight. Brute force is Laura's usual way of dealing with things. His idea of seduction is capture and abduct. You don't want to catch this dude's eye. You end up in his bed whether you want to or not. I give him a baleful glare. He's telling me to control myself, and the only way I see to do that inside Chester's is maybe beat myself over the head with a riot baton a few times and knock myself out.
Bitch, I said, where the fuck is my drink?
Temper nearly pops my skull. My brain empties. My sword hand swells, full of blood and eagerness. Joe gives me a look and turns away. Then she goes to play fetch and deliver to an unseelie, who isn't respecting her. I'm never going to survive this. But she has to, so I have to. I turn away, shoulder through the dudes, making sure to pop Laura a good one with an elbow as I go. He snarls. I bat my lashes at him. He says,
kid, you need to grow your ass up in a hurry.
Funny. I think everybody else needs to grow their ass down.
Like a horse, honey. Somebody's going to break you.
Never going to happen. I'm bored off my gourd, sitting in Raiden's office. I thought we were going to go out investigating, hunt for clues about what's ice in these places. So far, the only commonality I see is Raiden. Both places that got iced were his, like someone's targeting him and the dregs of the society I protect, fae and fae-loving humans. It occurs to me, if enough of his places get iced, and word gets around, folks will start avoiding Chester's. The club could die from lack of patrons. One can always hope, I say pissily. Riordan doesn't even acknowledge that I've spoken. I shift in my chair and glare at the top of his head. He's doing paperwork. He's been doing paperwork for over an hour. What kind of paperwork can possibly need to be done in this kind of fucked-up world? He didn't say anything when I walked in, so I didn't say anything. We've been sitting here in total silence for 1 hour, 7 minutes, and 32 seconds. I tap a pen on the edge of his desk. I'm not about to say the first word. So, why the feck am I here again? I say.
Because I told you to be,
he says, without raising his head from whatever stupid thing he's working on. Are you going to make me do your filing next? Am I Robin to your Batman or some stupid temp assistant here to help you sharpen pencils? Don't we have better things to do, like solve a mystery? Do you want more of your places to get iced? We just hanging around, waiting for it to happen?
Robin and the stupid temp assistant would have been on time.
I sit up straight from my bored slump, tapping faster. That's what this is all about? You're punishing me because I was late?
Bright girl. Stop tapping that pen, you're driving me bugfuck.
I tap faster. He's driving me bugfuck too. So, like, if I'm on time next time, I won't have to sit here and watch you do stupid stuff I can't believe you even do? Half the pen, the part not in my fist, is suddenly plastic powder. I blink at it. I didn't see him move. He crushed the pen so fast. Now I see little crumbles of blue plastic on the blade of his hand, ink smeared on the paper he's working on. I sit up even straighter. I have a lot to compete with if I'm ever going to be as fast as him.
I do what I do, Danny, because the mundane makes the world go around. Whoever controls the daily grind controls everyone else's reality.
That's why you're stealing all the food?
Ah, that's why you had your crate-smashing fit. No, I hoard weapons. Someone else is stockpiling food. That's too mundane even for me. I arm the swarm, feed the greed. Someone else is getting ready to starve them.
I give him an admiring look in spite of myself. You know it's been going on. He's known for longer than I have.
Someone started clearing the stores a while back. Where have you been?
Like, chained in somebody's dungeon? Dude, can we please go do something before I die of boredom? We got a mystery to solve. He looks at me. How did I ever think his face was impassive? It says whole sentences. I roll my eyes. You've got to be kidding me. He inclines his head, waiting. You're actually going to make me say it? He folds his arms over his chest. I nearly choke on my tongue trying to get it out. But I'll do anything to not have to sit in this office all night, watching the unseely between my high tops is getting old. I've taken mental notes out the wazoo. My young body needs to see some action. There's a live wire inside me, sizzling beneath my skin. If I don't discharge, I'll die. Bring on the night. There's stuff happening out there, and I'm stuck in here. I'll be on time. Next time.
Good. Next time you won't have to sit in my office all night.
I shoot up from the chair. Awesome, let's go. He pushes me back down.
But tonight you screwed up. So tonight you do.
7 hours later, it occurs to me that Laura might be right. I might be breakable. 7 hours of boredom, and I'm a puddle of willingness, ready to do virtually anything guaranteed to result in a change of scenery. Chains I can deal with. Boredom? No way. My brain gets ahead of my feet, and I don't like to think about where I'm going. I just go. At 6 a.m. on the dot, Riordan looks up and says,
Tonight at 8, Danny.
I glare murder at him and head for the door. It doesn't open. I glare at it. A whole night wasted. More seconds ticking by as I wait for my jailer to set me free. There aren't many crimes in my book, not many sins either. But top on both of those lists is killing time. Have fun with it. Make something cool. Play video games. Work hard if you feel like it. But do something. Killed time is an abortion. Life that never gets lived. Gone. Just gone. A cage and a collar killed way too much of mine. Just when I'm about to blow, he does something and the door retracts into the smooth glass wall. As I storm out, I hear him say,
"You wasted my time, Danny. I wasted yours."
I whirl on him, fists at my waist. "That's bullshit. It wasn't even proportionate."
"It rarely will be."
30 little feckin' minutes cost me 9.5 hours.
"The way you treat me is the way I will treat you. Since I'm bigger and older, I imagine it will always be worse."
"Oh, now you get all proportionate. If you're going to be as much of a dickhead as you are big and old, dude, that's some serious dickheadedness. That's not fair. You can't be totally disproportionate one minute, and then all quid pro quo the next."
"I can be anything I want."
"Oh, whose feckin' comic book is this?" I explode. "That's my line!" He laughs and his face changes. All of a sudden, he doesn't look so old. He looks happy, free, totally different. I see lines around his eyes from laughing that I never noticed before. My mind flashes straight back to level 4, and I see him behind that woman again, and he groans like he did that night. Then he laughs, and I feel almost sick to my stomach remembering. I don't know what's wrong with me. I wish I'd never feckin' gone down to level 4. I stand there and gape at him. The door slides shut in my face.
"You're early."
I give him a mutinous look. Of course he thinks my being early is about him. It's not. Mac was at Chester's last night at 8. I think she's hunting me. Since I can't be late to avoid her, I have to be early. Watch broke. Thought I was on time.
"You don't wear a watch."
"See, I knew I had a problem. I'll just dash out and get one. Be back tomorrow, on time." Jewelry gets caught on things in battle. The only concession I make is a bracelet Dancer gave me that I wear snug on my arm. Besides, without him around giving orders, I might actually make some progress in the investigation.
"Don't even think about it."
I drop into a chair in his office, dangle a leg over the side. "What are we doing tonight?" I say, just like him. No inflection at the end.
"Ah, Danny, if only you took instruction in all things so well."
"You'd be bored."
"So would you. There are 3 other iced places in Dublin."
3? I sit up straight in my chair. "Are they all yours?"
"Local places, unrelated to me in any way."
Bugger. There goes my theory about him being the target, along with my hope that Chester's might die a slow death. Casualties?
"About 50 between the 3.
Humans or fae?"
"Humans."
"All humans?" He nods. I let out a low whistle. 50 more people dead. The human race just keeps getting hammered with blow after blow. "Then why do you care? It didn't happen on your turf. Nothing of yours was damaged or destroyed."
"I have other reasons for wanting it stopped."
"Like what? You move fast like me. You can outrun anything. You can steal more stuff to replace what got iced. So what's the deal? What motives does a dude like him have?"
"The walls between our realms were destroyed on Halloween. Since then, things have changed. Human laws of physics are no longer laws, they're wishful thinking. It's possible parts of Faerie are manifesting spontaneously, bleeding through into our reality. It's possible it's happening randomly, instantly, and without warning. I didn't see surprise on anyone's face at either of my properties. Put the big picture together, even for people who can move like you and me."
I snap up straight to full attention, both feet on the floor, not liking that at all. "You mean if it happened in the place I was standing, I'd be alive one second, dead the next. I wouldn't even know it, I'd just be gone." My hands fist. I'm so freaked I want to fight something right now.
"Exactly. Instant death, no warning, no awareness. I don't know about you, but that offends the fuck out of me."
No blaze of glory, No epic battle. I'd die a totally meaningless death. Worse, I wouldn't even get to experience it. How much would that suck? To go through my whole life waiting to die, and then not even know it happened? I think death is like the final stage of a video game. And if what Riordan is saying is true, and I get iced, I'll never reach that final stage. I'll get wiped right out of existence on the second to last level. I want to play that last level when it's time. I want to taste it all, even the dying. I'm suddenly 110% invested in solving this mystery. 50 more folks dead coupled with the possibility of a completely meaningless death is powerful motivation. You don't get a big write-up in the history books unless you go out in a big way. I crunch thoughts and regurgitate them. Well, first of all, the humans in your subclub were a little preoccupied with things like getting tortured and dying, so it's understandable if they didn't notice that they were about to die in some other unexpected and surprising way. And second, I can't say for certain what surprise looks like on an Unseelie's face, but I got a great idea. I'll go downstairs and kill a few right now, and we'll collect some empirical data. I don't bother to mention I already hunted and killed half a dozen different kinds this morning after I left, but I still couldn't decide what their expressions meant. Their faces just don't work like ours. When he doesn't bother to dignify my dig with a response, I say, Three new places? What if the bleeding through starts to speed up? There could be dozens of iced spots soon. Assuming that's what's happening, how the feck are we going to stop it?
All iced last night within a few hours of each other. Two of them have already exploded.
I shoot to my feet. Dude, we gotta get to the third before it goes too. 12. Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long. I slow-mowed Joe across Halfpenny Bridge. We didn't learn a single new thing at the latest ice sculpture. Like the others, it blew shortly after we arrived. I freeze-framed out of there through flesh-colored shrapnel I pretended wasn't parts of fingers and faces I'd failed to save. The new places that got iced have nothing in common that I can see. There were two of those small underground pubs that have been springing up all over the city, and a fitness center where three people were frozen doing yoga in the middle of a bunch of crystal bowls. How weird is that? People doing yoga in times like these. So far, I've got an underground club at Chester's, a warehouse on the outskirts of the city, two inner-city small pubs, and a fitness center. Humans, Unseelie, and Imperial Guards, all at some places, but not others. So whatever's happening doesn't appear to be targeting a certain person like Riordan or a group of victims. It's looking more like a random, spontaneous event with each scene I see. I'm trudging, which I don't usually do because I'm thinking hard, and when I'm thinking hard plus freeze-framing, I run into things a lot. My bruises are fading, and sometimes I try to be my normal colored self for, like, a whole day. I'm too wired for sleep. I get like that sometimes, and can't do anything about it but ride it out. I need something to do or I'm going to drive myself nuts. I find Dancer in his favorite corner penthouse on the south side of the River Liffey. The two outer walls are solid floor-to-ceiling windows that look out over the streets. When I get there, he's stretched out on a rug in the sunshine with his shirt off, eyes closed, glasses on the floor beside him. Dancer's going to be a big guy one day, if he ever gains weight. Last time we measured ourselves, he was 14 inches taller than me, lanky and lean. He forgets to eat. His hair is dark with some wave, and he never cuts it until it gets in his way. Then he asks me to trim it. It's soft. I like it to his chin as it is now, fallen away from his face. When he wears his glasses, which is pretty much every minute he's awake because he's so nearsighted, he hates them, and before the walls fell, he was going to get LASIK. He looks like a hunky geek. I'd never tell him that. I like his hands. His feet are ginormous. His eyes aren't green or blue. They're aqua, like they're fay-brushed. He's got better eyelashes than me. When I see him, I don't say, Dude, where you been? I was starting to worry. Because me and Dancer don't do that to each other. He survived the walls going down all by himself. So did I. And I don't say, what happened the night Riordan showed up and took me? Where'd you disappear to? It doesn't matter. We're here now. It's like, somehow we know in our guts that it'll never be too long. The other is always going to walk through the door one day, eventually. He props up on an elbow when the door closes. He knows it's me, because I had to disarm 10 booby traps before I got to the door. Nobody else could make it through one of his gauntlets without tripping some alarm. Well, except for Riordan, who seems to be the exception to every feckin' rule. My heart squinches a little when I look at him. I never had siblings, but I think he's like a brother to me. I can never wait to see him again, tell him all the ideas I've been thinking, the things I've seen, and get his take on it all. Sometimes when we see each other, we can't stop talking for hours and hours, and we get so excited we start to stumble over our words trying to say it all so fast. I consider telling him about the iced scenes and the mystery I'm looking into. But I don't want Dancer to be any bigger on Riordan's radar than he already is. That Riordan even knows he exists makes me nuts. I want Dancer safe. And I know him. If he got the tiniest hint of a big mystery like this, he'd start poking into all kinds of places that could get him killed. It doesn't matter how uber impressed I am with how smart he is. Riordan's worse than walls falling or the world melting down. You don't survive if he doesn't want you to.
Mega, I've been thinking.
Stop the presses! Do I need to put out a special edition of the Danny Daily?
Might.
He grins, and I grin back. Dancer thinking has stellar results. You wouldn't believe the bombs he can build. We blow up things sometimes just for fun. You know, things that need to be blown up anyway, like places where a lot of shades used to hide that maybe they would return to one day. Like birds along a migration route, if it was still there.
You got me wondering about Papa Roach's babies,
he says. Yeah? I stretch out in the sun next to him, prop up on an elbow too, facing him. I love being able to see his eyes without his glasses in the way. It's a rare treat.
Do you know how long they can stay separate from a body, either Papa or human?
Dunno. Dancer, I finally found Scream 4. Want to watch it tonight?
Watched it last night,
he says absently, running a hand through his hair, making it stand up funny in a totally hot way, and I can tell by the way his eyes are unfocused that he's lost in thought and not aware of stuff around him. He gets that way a lot. You watched it without me? I'm hurt. Me and Dancer love horror flicks. We gorge on them because they make us laugh. They have a way of putting the world in perspective. We've been hunting for Scream 4 for a while, planning to watch it. Dancer doesn't usually watch movies alone, at least not that I know of.
But I'll watch it again. It was cool.
Cool. I still feel hurt, even though there's no reason for it. He's watching it with me tonight. So what if he saw it last night, too? And so what if he saw it with someone else? I don't care about stuff like that. What happens when I'm not around ain't got nothing to do with me. What about Papa Roach?
Blowing them up doesn't work. Torching them is no good either. But what if we keep them from returning to a body? Anybody, human or their own. Wouldn't that solve the problem? Our goal is to keep them from getting inside more people. They're immortal, and your time is too important to waste running around after thousands of them with your sword. So, I started thinking, what about a tough, impossible-to-escape spray plastic? Encase them and keep them from being able to reattach to anything. I've been working on a formula. Once it's done, we can fill those small fertilizer tanks we swiped from the hardware store and test it out. I already rigged up a couple of sprayers to fit.
So that's where he'd been. And when he got done working last night, he watched a movie to chill. No big.
I've got something that sets hard at 1/4 inch thick. I'm still trying to get it to gel to the perfect degree of solidity. I think I've figured out a way to add iron to the mix without making it too rigid. How do the segments attach to Papa? Tentacles? Suckers? How do they get under human skin? Can you catch me a couple of tested on?
You're the shit, you know that, I say.
No, you're the shit,
he says and grins, and we say it back and forth a couple of times. He thinks I'm the shit because I can actually catch them. I was born with my gifts. Dancer is always thinking, trying to find ways to do things better. Surviving the fall with no special powers and no friends wows the fuck out of me. We relax on the floor because sunshine in Dublin is rare, and we talk about anything and everything except things like where I was when he was wherever he was. I don't tell him I was in a dungeon for almost 4 days, and he doesn't ask. I like that about him. Friends don't build cages for each other. We watch the sun move across the sky, and sometimes he gets up to get me things to eat. He tells me he's been checking stores, and nearly every single one has been wiped clean. I have to stop myself 3 times from almost spilling the beans about the iced stuff I've been seeing. When it's getting near 7 o'clock, I start getting antsy, and it makes me mad, because I don't want to have to leave, but somebody else is pulling my strings, and I've got to go. I have to get to Chester's early enough to avoid Mac, but not so early Ryden gets all cocky about it. I sigh.
Something worrying you, Mega?
Dancer says. Just gotta go take care of some things.
I thought we were going to watch a movie. I found a whole box of Skittles at the airport. And jerky. The hot stuff.
I smack myself in the forehead. Skittles, jerky, and a movie. What was I thinking saying, hey, let's watch a movie tonight? My nights don't belong to me anymore. Somebody else owns them. That's not just a bitter pill to swallow. For someone like me, it's a suicide tooth. It's irrelevant that I want to go to work on the ice mystery and keep more innocent folks from dying. I can't handle that Riordan gets to dictate when, how, and where I do it. It almost makes me not want to work on it at all. I hate being controlled. I can't not go to Chester's, because I don't know what Riordan will do to Joe if I don't show, and there's no way I'm running the risk of finding out. I don't know if he'd hunt me down here, smash up the TV and DVD player, and take Dancer and put him in his dungeon. I never know what that dude will do next. But I'm crystal clear about one thing he's doing. Ruining my life. I bang into Riordan's office. I've been in enough cages in my life, I say. I got worked up on the way over, talking to myself in my head about the unfairness of it all. He glances up from his paperwork. Paperwork? Holy replicating reams! Is that all you ever do? It's no wonder you want me coming around so much. Got to liven up your boring life with the super excitement of the Mega. I'm so mad. I'm vibrating, and the papers on his desk flutter in the breeze. When I get really mad, I cause a kind of air displacement that does on a tiny scale what the Fae do on a massive scale, except I can't affect the temperature. I do it sometimes to freak people out, get them off balance. It used to bug the crap out of Ro. He catches a paper before it flies off his desk.
Something wrong.
How does he do that? Say questions without them sounding like questions at all. I've been practicing and it's not easy. Vocal cords want to go up at the end of an interrogatory. I've been trying to reprogram myself. Not because I plan to start acting like him, at least not around him, but because I think it's good to test yourself, override compulsion, learn more self-control. My hair's flying around my head in a cloud, getting in my eyes. I shove it back with both hands, wishing me and Dancer were eating jerky and hanging cool. Yeah, like, I might just have a life. Like, I might just have plans for things that conflict with your stupid report to work every night at 8 rule. Nobody else has to work every single night. Maybe I could get a couple of nights off to do something I want to do? Is that too feckin' much to ask?
You have a date.
Another non-question, but the word date in the same thought with Dancer makes me say, huh? Riordan stands and dwarfs me. I live in a world of people who are taller than me, but Jo says she thinks I'm going to grow more. I measure myself a lot. I don't want to be stuck at 5'2¾ forever.
You mentioned plans. You didn't say what they were.
None of your feckin' business.
Everything is my business.
Not my personal life. That's why they call it personal.
This is about your little boyfriend.
Don't talk about him. Don't even think about him. And he's not little. Stop calling him little.
One day he's going to be bigger than you. You just wait and see.
This isn't the time to play house and get clumsy with a kid that doesn't know what to do with his own dick.
He just made me think about Dancer's dick. The thought is so uncomfortable I stopped bouncing from foot to foot. Who said anything about dicks? I just want to watch a movie tonight.
Which one?
How could that possibly matter? He gives me a look. Scream 4, happy?
Wasn't very good.
Dancer said it was. I say crossly. Has everybody seen it but me?
Shows what he knows.
You got a problem with Dancer?
Yes. He's the reason you're in a shit mood tonight, and I have to put up with it. So fix the shit mood, or I'll fix Dancer.
My hand goes to the hilt of my sword. Don't you even think about trying to take anything from me that's mine.
Don't make me.
His fangs just slid out. I shake my head and whistle. Dude, what are you? He looks at me long and hard, and I see something in his eyes that I almost get, but don't. It's a look that I feel like I should know, but just can't make sense of. There's more of a breeze in the small closed office than I usually manage to generate, and I realize he's vibrating too, and he makes wind too. I'm beyond annoyed. Is there anything I can do that he can't do? When I look down through the glass floor, I see that everyone beneath us is moving slow-mo. We're both freeze-framing. I didn't realize I'd shifted all the way up. He drops back into slow-mo first. It takes me a sec longer to get a hold of my temper. When I manage to shift down, I flop into a chair and sling a leg over the side. I speak belligerence in every language known to man. Sign language is my native tongue. Riordan is like the ocean. He is what he is, and he's not about to change. There's no point in fighting the tide. It ebbs, it flows, you ride it. He's got me by the short hairs, and he's not about to let go. So, what are we doing tonight, boss? I put all my aggravation into the last word. There's that look again. Mystery to me. Sometimes I can read him like a book. Other times, the only things I see on his face are two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. I roll my eyes. What?
Something's come up. I was going to tell you.
He goes back to his paperwork, dismissing me.
You can go.
I sit up straight. Really? You mean it?
Get out of my office, kid. Go watch your movie.
I can't get to the door fast enough. I yank it open.
But watch out for icy spots. I hear they're deadly.
I pause on the threshold, getting mad all over again. I had a happy feeling for all of one stinking second before he went and squashed it. You just had to say that. You can't help yourself, can you? You think the only thing to do with a parade is rain on it. Some people know how to enjoy the parade because, dude, the rain always comes back.
The wise man ensures his survival before enjoying it. The fool dies enjoying it.
Skittles, Jerky, and Dancer are calling my name. I rip open a candy bar, bouncing from foot to foot. But what if the wise man never gets around to the enjoying part? I got a lot of unlived experiences waiting for me. Sometimes I want to be just what I am, 14 and free.
Perhaps the wise man knows being alive is the enjoying part.
Have more places gotten ice since last night? I should have kept my mouth shut. I shouldn't have asked. Responsibility adds weight and years to my shoulders when he nods. He rubs salt in the wound.
But maybe you'll get lucky watching a movie with your little boyfriend and nothing will happen. Bright side of it is, if something does, you'll never know.
'Cause I'd, like, be dead instantly. Bright side my ass. Riordan knows just how to push my buttons. I roll my eyes, close the door, and sit back down. I'll be 14 later. Like probably next year, when I'm 15. Without looking up, he says,
I said get out of here, kid.
Cancel your plans, dude. Folks are dying. We've got work to do. This one takes the cake. Way out on the south side of Dublin, where things get rural. Behind a shack,